Thank you, Doug, for giving us that reading there from the scriptures. Thank you, Mike, for your prayer. And thank you, David, for leading us in that very uplifting hymn as we raised our voices in praise to our Almighty God. And again, thank each and every one of you for your presence here this morning. Looking back on the week that we just had, I just have to say, what a great week. What a great week we just had. You see, we had outstanding Bible-based lessons presented to us each and every night by Lanny. We had many visitors, and we had a very uplifting week all around during our gospel meeting. Now the question is, what should we do after a gospel meeting? You see, if you recall, before our gospel meeting, we had a lesson pertaining to what a gospel meeting can provide. Therefore, I think that it is only fitting that now that our gospel meeting is over, that we take some time to consider the question pertaining to what we should do after a gospel meeting. So with that thought in mind, I want to suggest a few things to you this morning pertaining to what we should do after a gospel meeting. And I begin this morning by suggesting to you that we should practice what we have learned from the meeting. You see, the Word of God was preached this past week. And now it is up to us to receive what we have heard from God's Word and apply it to our lives. It's up to us to take what we heard this past week and to practice it. When I think about that, I cannot help but to think about what Jesus said there in Luke chapter 11. And in the context there in Luke chapter 11, if you recall, a certain woman said to Jesus, she said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you." But I want you to notice what Jesus said there in verse 28 of Matthew 11. Jesus says, hold on a second. He said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. You know what Jesus is simply saying there? He said, blessed are those who hear the word of God and practice it. We need to be mindful of those words of Jesus. We need to take them to heart. We've heard the word of God preached last week. Now it's up to us to take what we have heard and to apply it to our lives. When I think about that, I also think about the reading that Doug just gave for us a few moments ago there from James chapter 1. And if you will, turn your Bibles back there with me to James chapter 1. And I again want to read those verses beginning there in verse 21. Again, James says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of weakness. Now watch this. He says, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Now pay attention to verse 22 because James goes on to say, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Stop there for a moment. Notice what James said. James didn't say just hear the word and that's it. That's not what he said, did he? But rather James said, don't just be hearers of the word, but also be doers of it. And why is that important? Because he says that if you just hear the word and you let it go in one ear and right out the other, and you fail to apply it to your life, you're deceiving yourself. You're fooling yourself. But he goes on to say there in verse number 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, that is the word of God. What about them, James? He says, and if he continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of work, James said this one will be blessed in what he does. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? You see, James says that those who not only hear the word, but also make proper application of it to their lives, will be blessed in what they do. Hold on to those words of James. And let's be a people who practice what we have heard and learned from the meeting this past week. And let us be mindful of the fact that if we fail to apply the things that we have heard this past week. We attended the meeting and heard those things in vain, didn't we? You ever think about that? If we fail to practice what we have learned, we attended last week and heard God's word preached, and we were just wasting our time. We don't want that, do we? We don't want that. Therefore, let us practice what we have learned, and let's be mindful that if we are both a hearer and a doer of the word, we will be blessed in what we do. But I also suggest to us this morning that not only should we practice what we have learned from the meeting, but we should also teach others what we have learned from the meeting. You see, we had some outstanding Bible-based lessons presented to us this past week. We had some lessons that was presented in regard to Christ and the cross. We had some lessons that was pertaining to the kingdom of God. We had some lessons pertaining to baptism. We had some outstanding Bible-based lessons presented to us last week that gives us some great information in regard to God's will and plan. We need to take what we learned last week from the meeting, and we need to share it with others. When I think about that, I can't help but to think about what is commonly referred to as the Great Commission there in Matthew chapter 28. And if you will, open up your Bibles with me, if you will, there to Matthew chapter 28. And again, as good Bible students, we're familiar with the context here, with what is primarily referred to as the Great Commission, and Jesus commissioning his apostles. But I want you to notice what he said beginning there in verse number 19. He said, "Go therefore." Go and do what, Jesus? He said, and make disciples of all nations. How do you do that, Jesus? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But he didn't stop there, did he? He also said there in verse number 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Did you catch that? You see, Jesus' instruction to his chosen disciples as he commissioned them here was for them to go forth and to make disciples and to teach them all things that he had commanded. You want to know something? We still have that responsibility today. As disciples of Jesus Christ today, we still have the responsibility to be sharing the gospel with others. We still have the responsibility to be making disciples and to teach them to observe all things which Jesus had commanded. You see, brethren, we need not to keep back for ourselves what we learned this past week, but rather we need to be sharing it with others. We need to take what we learned this past week and teach it with others. Why is that important? I'll tell you why that's important. Because as you know, this world is full of sin-sick souls. Full of sin-sick souls who are in need of hearing the soul-saving message of the gospel. And if we don't take that message to them, who else is going to do it? Think about that. We got a job to do, brethren. And we need to be teaching others what we have learned. When I think about that, I can't help but to think about the words of Paul recorded there to Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Follow me, if you will, in your Bibles there to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And notice these words of the inspired apostle beginning there in verse number 24. And there Paul penned, "And a servant of the Lord must." I want you to notice that word. Paul said must. That means there's no exceptions. He goes on to say, "Not quarrel, but be gentle to all." Now watch this. Able to teach. Got an ink pen or a highlighter? Highlight that or underscore that. Paul goes on to say, patient. in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. You see, brethren, we all are servants of the Lord. Those who that have obeyed the gospel, those of us that have put Christ on through baptism, we are his servant. And as his servants, one of those things that is required of us is to be teaching others. Remember that. Let's be teaching others what we have learned this past week about the gospel. And let's be sharing it with them. For as Paul goes on to tell us the importance of that there in verse 26 when he says, so that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. You see that? It's important, isn't it? Therefore, let us make proper application of that. And going along with that point, I suggest to us that another thing that we should do after a gospel meeting is we should water the seed that has been planted during the meeting. Again, last week, God's word was preached. And did you know that the scriptures refer to the word of God as seed? Did you know that? You see, we learn about that there in Luke, the 8th chapter. And there in Luke chapter 8, we have given for us what is commonly referred to as the parable of the sower. And as Jesus gives this parable of the sower, we learn beginning there in verse 11 of Luke chapter 8, where Jesus then begins to explain that parable to us. And guess what? Jesus informed to us that the seed in that parable is the Word of God. Last week, the seed was planted. Now, it's up to you and I to water that seed. It's up to you and I to water the seed that was planted so that it may take root and grow strong. When I think about that, I think about what Paul penned there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. And there it's recorded where Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. Again, it's up for us to water that seed that was planted. We need to encourage others and to encourage each other to continue to be faithful to the Lord. We need to water that seed that had been planted. And here's the thing. Then we need to leave it to God to give the increase. You see, the only thing that we can do as preachers and teachers of God's Word is we can just plant the seed and water it. That's all we can do. We got to leave the rest to God. Because it is God who opens the hearts of men and women. It is God who gives the increase. But I want you to think about something. If we fail to plant and to water the seed, how is there going to be anything for God to give the increase? You ever think about that? I want you to think about something else. Don't you think that if we were busier planting and watering the seed, God would be more active in giving the increase? I don't know about you, but I certainly believe that. Let's remember that. And let's be a people who water the seed that has been planted this past week. But another thing I suggest that we need to do after a gospel meeting is we should continue to encourage one another after the meeting. What an encouragement it was to come together this past week and to spend quality time with one another. I don't know about you, but I was really uplifted this past week. I was uplifted by the opportunity that we had to come together throughout the week to spend quality time with one another. I was uplifted by the time that we got to spend with one another throughout the week before services and after services. What an encouragement last week was.
And you want to know something? That's the way it should be all the time. We need to be mindful of the fact that we shouldn't just spend quality time with one another before services and after services, only during a gospel meeting week. But we should be doing that each and every week, brethren, knowing the benefits of that. Because you want to know something? We all need encouragement. I need it. You need it. We all need it. And when we spend quality time with those of like precious faith, there's no better source of encouragement than that. Therefore, I encourage you to continue to encourage one another. I encourage you to remember what Paul said there in Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. There Paul said, pursue the things which make for peace and those things by which you may edify another. Simply put, Paul was saying, pursue those things. Seek out opportunities to build one another up, to encourage one another. And brethren, we need to continue doing that. Last week was a great source of encouragement. It was very uplifting. We got it started by spending quality time with one another. Now let's keep it going. Let's continue to take advantage of opportunities to seek out and to encourage one another to keep on keeping on. And when I think about the importance of that, I cannot help but to think about what the Hebrews writer penned there in Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 13. And there Paul, the Hebrews writer rather, simply said, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. Why? Well, notice, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see the importance of encouraging one another daily? Do you see that? Do you see that? It's important, isn't it? Why? Because everywhere we look, everywhere we turn, the influence of sin is all around us. And if we fail to hold one another up, if we fail to continually urge and remind one another to keep on keeping on, what's going to be the outcome? More than likely, we're going to be more prone to being one who depart from the living God. We don't want that, do we? God forbid that ever happens to any of us. But you want to know something that will help prevent that from happening? You want to know some preventative maintenance to help prevent ones from departing from the living God? I'll tell you. Spend quality time with one another. Encourage one another. Exhort one another daily to keep on keeping on. Let us be mindful of that. And now that our gospel meeting is over, let's continue to encourage one another. But another thing I suggest to us this morning that we need to continue to do after a gospel meeting is we should pray that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. You see, before our gospel meeting, we prayed for the meeting, didn't we? We prayed that our meeting would be successful and that the word would be preached, and that brethren would be uplifted, and that souls who have not obeyed the gospel, that they would hear that gospel message, and that it may take root. And I want us to be mindful of the need for us to pray that the word of the Lord that was preached this past week, that it may run swiftly, and that it may be glorified. Did you know that was the Apostle Paul's desire? Did you know that? We learn about that there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. And as Paul was about to bring this second epistle to those saints in Thessalonica to a close, he said these words. He said, finally, brethren, pray for us. Why, Paul? Well, notice, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. Think about that for a moment. You see, simply put, Paul's desire was that the word of the Lord may have unimpeded progress and a glorious effect, even as it had with the saints that was in Thessalonica. Paul, his desire and prayer was that the gospel would spread rapidly without obstruction. We need to be praying for that. We need to be praying that the gospel that was preached this past week during our gospel meeting, that it will spread rapidly without obstruction. Pray that that message would not be hindered. Pray that that message that was preached last week, that it will take root in the hearts of those who heard that message, who had not yet become obedient to the Lord. Pray for that. And let's pray that the word of the Lord may spread without obstruction. That takes us to our next point that we should do after a gospel meeting. And that is, we should pray and desire that lost souls will be saved. Again, just a few moments ago, I pointed out that there were some that attended our gospel meeting this past week who have never named the name of our Lord Jesus. They never confessed Jesus Christ before men. They haven't yet repented of their sins and put Christ on through baptism. There were some who attended last week who simply have not yet obeyed the gospel. And we need to be praying, just as the Apostle Paul prayed in his desire for Israel was that they may be saved. We need to be praying for those souls that attended last week who heard the gospel preached, who have failed to obey the gospel, that they may be saved. We need to be praying for that. We need to be praying that not only those who heard the gospel last week, who have not yet obeyed the gospel, that message may take root and that they may obey the gospel and be saved, but we also need to be praying for those who have already once obeyed the gospel but yet have laid down their sword and turned their back on the Lord who heard the gospel. Because you know what? We had some of those attend this past week as well. And we need to be praying that they too will take to heart the gospel message. And that they too will come to their senses, that they will repent of their sins, so that they too can again be in a saved condition. We need to be praying, brethren, that lost souls will be saved. Because here's the thing. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. That's why Christ came to this earth, to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. That's what it's all about, brethren. And we need to be doing our part. And we need to be praying and desiring that lost souls will be saved. But another thing I suggest to us this morning that we should continue to do after a gospel meeting is we should continue to give God the glory after our gospel meeting. You see, this past week, we let our light so shine in this community. This past week, we provided an opportunity in this community for those around to come together and to hear God's word proclaimed. We provided an opportunity to come in out of the world last week to sing song of praise unto our Almighty God, to go to Him through an avenue of prayer, and to hear God's word proclaimed. And you want to know something else? You brethren did an outstanding job of encouraging each and every one that visited or attended our gospel meeting. I commend you for that, brethren. Job well done. You let your light shine last week. And we need to be mindful of the need to continue to let our light shine and to continue to give God the glory. For as Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men. Why, Jesus? So that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I'm convinced that God was glorified last week during our gospel meeting. Now I encourage us, brethren, to continue to give God the glory after our meeting.
For as we learned there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, Paul's instruction to those saints in Corinth was to do all that they do to the glory of God. Amen. We too need to be striving to do all that we do to the glory of God. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because all glory belongs to God. Glory doesn't belong to any man. Glory doesn't belong to anyone, but only to God. Therefore, may He be glorified forever. Just as Paul encouraged as he ended his epistle to those saints in Rome, as we see there in Romans chapter 16 and verse 27. And may we continue to give God the glory after our gospel meeting. I now ask, now that the meeting is over, what will you do? What are you going to do? What will you do? My prayer is that we will all take to heart the things that we have discussed here this morning, and that we will all make proper application of what we should do after a gospel meeting. But I want to go a little further than that. We all need to be making proper application of the things that we have discussed here this morning, not only after a gospel meeting, but also each and every day of our lives. Maybe there's one here this morning who has not yet submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and His will. You have an opportunity to do that this very hour. For you have heard the Word of God, and if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life this very hour. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ before men. And you can be baptized this very day for the remission of your sins. All things are ready. All things are ready. You can put off that old man of sin. And you can be raised up out of that watery grave to walk in the newness of life. And you can walk out these doors a child of God this very hour. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we must continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this morning who has already spent their life in obedience to the Lord and His will, but you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. We plead with you to repent, to confess your sins to God and ask Him for His forgiveness, and to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to God this very hour while you still have the opportunity to do that. And if you'd like to enlist the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be, won't you let that name be known now while we stand and sing the song David has selected.